Ezekiel 37. While we're turning there, I want to ask everybody a question as I open this message tonight. I want you to just think about the answer to yourself. What is your favorite beverage? Your favorite thing to drink when you're at the restaurant or you're at the convenience store or anywhere that you're at, what would be your drink of choice? Just think about it for a second. I'm already getting thirsty. This one right here, I happen to find what mine would be. Some people in here know what this is. This is blackcurrant Fanta. Everybody that's been to Kenya is so jealous right now. This, you can only get this in Kenya, and I happen to have one. I wish it was mine. This is actually Brittany's. Otherwise, I'd be drinking it right now. But that's what I would take over anything else. When we went to Kenya back in November, I ordered that even at breakfast. Some of you are grossed out by that, but hey, you can only get it there, you know? So, or you can bring it back. That is my beverage of choice. Maybe yours is soda. Maybe yours is a juice. Is anybody in here? It's water. That would be your, okay, a few more than I thought, actually. That's okay. Good for you. That's great. I need to be like that, too. Amen. Well, for those of you that it's not water, I want you, or even if it is, think about the time you were most thirsty. The time that you were the most thirsty. You know what I'm talking about. You got dry throat. Your tongue starts sticking to the roof of your mouth. You get that little cough. There's not enough, you know, juices to get that cough to stop. You would give anything for a drink. When I feel like that, all I want is a cold glass of water. You agree with that? When you're just dying of thirst. I remember when we were in Kenya, Elena and I were in our room, and you know, you can't just turn a faucet on and drink the water there. You have to have bottled water. And we had already run out of bottles of water, and I kind of laughed because we had a big bottle of blackcurrant. We had a big, you know, 2 liter of orange soda, and I was dying of thirst because I just wanted some water. And so, you know, a lot of people, we call that dry mouth. You guys get dry mouth? Amen. I have it right now, just talking about it. Amen. But tonight, there's another syndrome. There's another thing that we deal with no matter what area of our life we're in. Maybe you're a believer. You're a born-again Christian. Maybe you're here. This is your first time in service tonight. Maybe you haven't even heard about God before. But there's something I want to minister on tonight along these lines, and that is dry bones syndrome. Not dry mouth, but dry bones. Amen. I want to talk about having dry bones tonight, spiritually. And let's look together in Ezekiel chapter 37. And it says, in verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" Verse 4 says, "Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." So tonight I want to talk about dry bone syndrome and what that means to us, because just as much as this applied in Bible times, it should apply to your life tonight, no matter where you're at. And what's happening here is in this period of the Bible, you know, if you read about the Israelites, they've been turning their back on God over a long period of time. Constantly, they were looking for something besides God to fulfill their needs spiritually. You can read about the first time they build a golden calf. When that doesn't work, they demand that they have a king to rule over them. But time after time, these Israelites turn their back on God. And so God eventually decides, I'm going to punish these Israelites. And so, long story short, their enemy wins in a battle against them, and many of those Israelites are taken away from their homeland. So you can just imagine for a second, all this nation of people is just spread out and in enemy territory. They don't have their allies with them. They don't have anyone around them to help them. They pretty much feel abandoned, amen, as we all would. And so what happens, one of those Israelites is named Ezekiel, and God calls him to be a prophet, and he gives Ezekiel this vision that we just read, the vision of these dry bones, as a signal to tell those people that even though you're suffering right now, even though you're in this time of punishment right now, there's still hope. That's the basis of this message tonight that I hope comes through, is that there is hope for you tonight. If you have dry bone syndrome, there's hope for you. What do I mean by that before we continue? What does that mean? You know, that's just a fancy way of saying you don't have passion for God in your life. There's no desire in your heart to please God with your life. You know, there's no desire to lift your hands. Maybe you even look at people that do that and think, how can they be like that? How do they have this love for God? How do they have any desire to lift their hands if they only knew what I was going through? And I'm not saying that to beat you down tonight. We all go through dry times. Amen. We all go through times where we don't have that excitement for the things of God. We're not passionate about what God is doing in our lives. Maybe it's been a long time since you felt God's presence in your life. Sometimes you might even be desiring it, like I was talking about with that water. And it's like, God, when am I going to feel your presence again? Amen. And we start to get spiritually these dry bones. There's no more life in us, no more hope. But there is hope tonight. If we look at what we just read in verse number 1, it talks about that in the midst of this valley, it was full of bones. If you can think of a valley, that's not a small area of land. Valleys can be huge. Just imagine a huge valley full of dry bones. So tonight, it's not talking about just a few people. Amen? Just to picture a place full of dry bones. This is a world full of people that are dry. Amen. We might even have a church that might be full of people that are dry tonight, even sitting in church. Amen. This is not a small thing. In verse 3, it's pretty interesting. If you look with me at verse 3, here God is telling this story, and it's almost as if he pauses for a second, and he turns to Ezekiel, and he says, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" It's almost kind of an odd thing. Why would he do that? Why would he pause and ask Ezekiel that instead of just doing the miracle? But I love what Ezekiel answered, and I want to look at what he says tonight. He says, "So I answered, Lord God, you know." Now, this is not a cop-out. This isn't just him saying, you know, I don't know. But I believe what Ezekiel was doing is he was putting that onus on God. He was saying tonight, God, I don't know. I don't have the ability to put these dry bones back together, but God, you know. Amen? God knows. And so tonight, if you begin to think to yourself, I might have that. I might have some dryness in my life. I may have some dryness towards God. First thing we need to recognize is that we can't do it. We can't fix that on our own. Amen? The Israelites tried so many times, and every time they fell into something they shouldn't have been doing. And so, along with that, here Ezekiel recognizes, God, you know, I don't know. And so if you read in that story we just read, he tells those bones what God tells him to say. God says, prophesy these words. And so Ezekiel does what God tells him to do. He prophesies the very words that God speaks to him. And so tonight, to get rid of that dry bone syndrome, we need to do what God tells us to do. Amen. We need to obey. We need to hear the voice of God just like Ezekiel did here. This is a big thing. We're not just talking about being converted to a religion tonight, but we're talking about something that was once dead now coming back to life again. Amen. That's what God wants to do in this place tonight. Some of you here, spiritually, you're dead. There's dryness in you. There's no excitement. You know, we're coming up to January. We were just recently looking at the calendar, talking about when to get the next step class going. Pretty soon, we're going to have small group signups. Now, there are two ways that we can react to that. We can be excited and ready to get into the new year, or we can think, oh my gosh, here we go again. A whole new year, amen. And sometimes we react a little bit of both, amen. It can be a little challenging. We're getting ready to go into the hard part of winter. I mean, it's a challenge, amen. And so we need to not allow dry bones in our lives. So I want you to turn with me over to another passage in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You know, if we have dry bones tonight, if you have dryness in your life, if there's no desire for the things of God in your heart right now, what we need more than anything else is we need an encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Him. Amen. When we come into a church service like this, any church service, we ought to be seeking an encounter with God. It's not enough just to be sitting in this place tonight, but before we leave here, every one of us is going to have a chance to encounter Jesus. Amen. Nothing changes a person like an encounter with God, and we're going to see that in this story. This story is very similar, and we're going to look at it to the dry bones story that we just read in some of the ways. And in John chapter 4, starting in verse 5, this is talking about Jesus as he's walking the earth. It says, eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But look at this, verse 14. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, she replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You spoke the truth. Verse 23, we'll skip down. It says, but the time is coming, indeed is here now, where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Amen. So this is a powerful story that I want to look at for a few minutes tonight. You know, this didn't happen by chance. This wasn't Jesus kind of stumbling upon this well because he was thirsty. This woman happened to be there, and it was just such a wonderful story. They decided to put it in the Bible. This was Jesus demonstrating the heart that he has for people that are lost in sin. That's the purpose of Jesus even dying on the cross. So I want to first let you know tonight, if you have sin in your life, if you have some things that you know are not right, don't think for 1 minute that that disqualifies you from accepting Jesus, because that's why Jesus did what he did. He came for people like you and me that needed that. Amen. So that's the first thing, is the only way that we can come to Christ is by recognizing that we are sinners and we need God's help. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. If we don't recognize that there's sin in our lives, we can't be helped. Amen. Pastor Dustin preached an excellent message a few Wednesdays ago out of Luke 18, and he talked about that there was the Pharisee and the tax collector, these two men. Both of them were at the church, at the altar, praying. But the Pharisee was praying things like, God, thank you that I'm not like this guy over here. thank you that I'm such a great Christian, that I give, that I do all the things that I do. And meanwhile, it highlights this other man. It says he's beating his chest and crying out before God, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. Amen. And if you read about it, it says that that man went home justified because he knew that he was lost and needed help. Amen. That's the heart that God's looking for. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Not that which was perfect, not those who are saved, but those who are lost. So tonight, if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling dry, if you're feeling like God is nowhere to be found, you made it to the right place tonight. Amen. That's why God came tonight. That's why he's here to work in our lives tonight. The way that we get dry, this dry bone syndrome, is if it's illustrated in that way, it's basically the way that we get dry is we get lulled into this sense of security that we're doing okay. Amen? It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to come to church every once in a while, and maybe you even read your Bible or, you know, you do some things and it kind of lulls you into this sense that I'm doing okay. Or I grew up with the gospel, so I kind of have that already in my foundation, so I'm going to be okay. But some people need a reality check about that. Amen? And we'll look at that's what happened with this woman. If we're open and honest with God, he'll help us to realize what's really going on in our life. Amen. Think about this story we just read. Here Jesus is meeting with this woman, and he tells her, I have water that you don't know about, water that's going to change your life, spiritual water that's going to make you a whole new person. And she wanted that. It sounded good to her, but he couldn't just give that to her. He couldn't just give her that. But he had to, he told her, go get your husband. Amen. And it turns out that she had been with six guys recently. And so Jesus had to call out her sin a little bit. He had to make her realize that she needed help. Amen. He read her like a book. She couldn't deny her sin. She couldn't hide it. She couldn't make excuses for it. Amen. She had to deal with that sin. And so looking at us tonight, we can't deny our sin or hide it or try to excuse it. We just need to understand that, hey, we're sinners. Amen. I need Jesus and you need Jesus tonight. Amen. We need him. He wanted to first deal with this woman's sin. Amen. The second thing that happened here is that she realized that she needed a change. She realized she couldn't do it the way she was doing it anymore. Maybe she didn't even understand what that change was yet, but she just knew when she encountered Jesus, there was a realization, I need to do something different. Amen. When we have an encounter with Jesus, we understand that, hey, I need to do something different than what I've been doing. Amen. Jesus begins to speak to her about this living water that would change her life, water that would cause her never to thirst, never to want again. Amen. Now, he wasn't talking about physical water, but he was talking about something spiritual. Amen. Think about what water does. It washes you. It changes, cleanses what you are. Amen. So to come into a church like we're in tonight, it's not enough just to be around the water. We need to let God change us. That'd be like getting in the shower but not turning the water on. You could say, yeah, I was in the shower, but we got to turn that water on, amen, or else nothing really gets clean. So what happens is God begins to wash away the sins of your life. You know, one reason that we get so dry, or I'll talk about myself, one reason that I deal with dryness from time to time is because I get so tired of dealing with the same things over and over. And I'm sure that's every single one of us. Amen. We go through times where we think, when is this thing going to stop happening in my life? When is something going to come in and wash that thing away? Amen. The living water of God. That's the difference between being religious and having relationship with Jesus, is that he produces a change in our life. When this woman heard it, she was excited. This was the change that she was looking for. We ought to be excited when we encounter Jesus. Tonight is a chance to encounter Jesus. Amen. That's exciting. That made me want to clap my hands when we were singing. That made me want to shout. Amen. We get to encounter Jesus tonight. Praise God. Some people, though, they come to church and they're okay with just coming. They hear the word. They're respectful of it. They might give in the offering. They might clap their hands. But they leave without experiencing any kind of change in their life. And they're okay with that. Amen. Why even come? But, you know, Jesus challenged, in this story, he challenged that way of living. Because in verse 12, let's look at this for just a second. In verse 12, she said, how can you offer better water? So first of all, Jesus offers her this thing. And she says, well, how can you offer something better? In other words, she was, how can you offer something better? So she was basically saying, what makes your way better? What makes your way better than my way? You know, I've been doing this for a long time. If you read in that scripture, she mentions, it says, besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? So she starts looking back and says, well, this is the way I've done it for years. I always come to this well. What makes you think what you have is any better? And some people, believe it or not, when they walk into a church or when they encounter the gospel, that's their attitude. What makes you think what you have is any better? I've been doing it the same way that I've always done it. This was the well that was dug by their ancestors, so it must be right. Amen. But Jesus replied to her, anyone who drinks this water will soon come back and be thirsty again. In other words, if you continue to do what you've always done, you're going to be thirsty again. Amen. You're going to get the same result you've always gotten. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. And listen to how he says it. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Amen. That's the best description of water I've ever heard. A fresh, bubbling. Just imagine something that's constantly running. Amen. When water is running, dirt can't stay there because it's washing, constantly running through you. Amen. That's why we come to church. That's why we pray. That's why we read our Bible. Amen. Because it's constant. Praise God. One time is not going to do it. Amen. Tomorrow when we wake up, we need that living water to run through us again. Amen. That's why we do what we do. We do it because we need a lasting change. And so if you're experiencing dry bone syndrome tonight, if you'd say, man, I want to be excited about God again, the way to do that is to learn to let that water run through you. Amen. You know, I'll put it to you another way. When you don't pray, when we ignore reading our Bible or coming to church, doing these things that we know we ought to do, it's kind of like building a spiritual dam. And for some people, they've been ignoring those things for so long, they have like the Hoover Dam. Amen. It's like building a dam between you and the blessings and that flowing of God. But except we're building it on our own self. We're causing blockage to the very thing that we need running through us. Amen. Look in verse 15. She said, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Amen. I won't have to come here to get water. So she even realized what she was doing wasn't working. Amen. We read about it. You know, the reason that she was at the well in the first place is it was customary back then for women to come to that well to draw water. And also, it was a meeting place. It was a place to kind of check out what's going on. Amen. It was the social scene of the day was the well. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it says it right there that she had five men she had been with, and then at this time, she's living with her sixth. So, in other words, she kept coming to that well six times. So the first time she came, found a guy, and for some reason, five more times, she had to keep coming back to that well. And so she tells Jesus, give me this water, and I won't have to come back here again. Have you ever felt like that about your life? You look at something that you've done, something that you're struggling with right now, and you've even thought to yourself, I just want to not come back here again. I just want to finally get free from this thing that's had a grip on my life. I'm so tired of doing the same thing. Amen. Jesus said that living water is what gets rid of that. That's how we get rid of it. Amen. There's a repetitiveness there, and she felt the need to keep coming back because she was never fulfilled. That's what people miss sometimes about Jesus, is that he fulfills that need. Amen. You don't need those things anymore because Jesus fulfills that. Amen. There's a wonderful song, and I'm probably going to forget the lyrics, but there's a song by Chris Tomlin that talks about that. that God is all you need. He's more than enough. Amen. All of you is more than enough. I'm not going to sing it, but you know the words. Amen. All of you is more than enough. That's Jesus. He's more than enough. We don't need the rest of the stuff that this world has to offer. Amen. Amen. And that means that when you experience the change that Jesus brings, you don't need the things of this world anymore. You won't need that addiction that you're dealing with anymore. Because now you have Jesus. You have that living water flowing inside of you. Amen. The Bible talks about it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I'll go through these quickly. It says, because greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. Amen. God inside of us is greater than anything this world can throw at us. Amen. I know there's a lot. We're living in a world where you have everything you need pretty much sitting in your pocket on your phone. Amen. You can get anything, anywhere, at any time. But God in you is more than that. Think about a scripture a lot of people probably know by heart. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You might be in a dark place tonight. You might be thinking, I'm dry beyond what I can even explain. Well, listen to this scripture. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's as scary of a place as I can think of. Right in the shadow of death. But it says, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Amen. Some people won't come to Christ because they're afraid they're just going to fall back. I don't know if it's even worth coming to the altar because I know myself. I know when I wake up tomorrow, I'm probably just going to fall back. This says that because God is with us, we don't have to fear evil. Amen. That's what living water does, is it makes you able to face that thing that you're dealing with. Amen. But our challenge today, as I close, our challenge today is to allow Jesus to come in and bring to us life-changing spirit. Amen. It's one thing to hear me preach about it tonight. It's one thing to say, that sounds really good, but I'm not going to take any. Amen. But it's another thing to open yourself up spiritually and allow God to bring that change. Allow God to produce that life-giving water in your life. Amen. Look with me in John 4 right there and skip ahead to verse 39. So this woman, God basically saves her. She gets saved. She accepts this living water. And so in verse 39, it says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Amen. It wasn't just that this woman came and said, hey, God can change your life. He can do this amazing thing that he did for me. But they had to experience it for themselves. Amen. You know something? I can tell you how delicious an ice-cold glass of water would be right now, but you have to experience it for yourself. Amen. I can tell you what God's done in my life, but until you open your heart to him and experience what he has to give you, you won't understand it. Amen. Like you will when you experience it. You might be here tonight and you'd say, man, you're in my backyard. I'm dealing with this dry bone syndrome. It doesn't have anything to do. Maybe you're not backslidden. Maybe you're not saved. I don't know. But if you're dealing with dryness tonight, you haven't had a drive in your heart to do anything for God. You haven't felt his presence in a little while. We need to open ourselves up and take time to be with him. Amen. He's the answer we need. There's nothing else that can satisfy that need tonight. Amen. But the wonderful thing is, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to be that water for you and I tonight. Amen. I want to ask if everyone would just bow their heads, close your eyes tonight. We're going to take this opportunity to spend some time with Jesus. There are people here tonight, you are desperately looking for something to be different in your life. You've been dealing with the same kind of things in your life over and over again, and you'd give anything just to be free. I want to tell you, tonight is your night. Amen. Jesus is here. He's alive right now, and he wants to fill you just like he did this woman. He wants to fill you with his living water that will produce real change in your heart. It'll take away those desires and fulfill what you need in your spirit. That's what Jesus came to do. Amen. With every head bowed, I want to ask all across this place, there's a lot of people here tonight, a lot of different things that we're struggling with, a lot of different areas in our lives and places that we're at. But I want to ask on an equal playing ground right now, maybe tonight you'd say, you know what, I have this dry bone thing that you're talking about tonight. That scripture really spoke to me. I know that I don't have a right relationship with Jesus, but tonight I want to make sure that I don't walk out of this place the same way. I want to invite Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. If that's you tonight, just raise your hand up and we're going to pray with you. Amen. Just quickly raise your hand up. You're just saying, that's me. I want to give Jesus my heart. Maybe you've never given Jesus your heart. I want to tell you, there's nothing like it. It really is true what the Bible says, that you will never thirst again. I'm not saying life is perfect, but I'm telling you that God will be there for you. Amen. He'll be there to quench your thirst. If that's you tonight, I want to give Jesus my heart. Just raise your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here and you'd say, you know, I've had a relationship with God. I know what it is to be saved, but I know that I'm dry right now. Whatever I am, I know that I haven't felt God's presence in my life. I want to get closer to Him. I want that bubbling water in my heart, bringing life to me again. If that's you, you just say, I want to get things right with God tonight. Just put your hand up. I see these hands. Amen. How many more? Lots of hands going up. Honest hearts. Praise God. Don't leave this place the same. Amen. Don't come in thirsty and leave thirsty. Tonight, God's here to save you. I see these hands. How many more would just join these and say, I'm going to get my life right tonight? Amen. Don't worry about anybody else. This is about you and God tonight. I see these hands. Let's all stand in this place. Amen. I'm going to invite everyone who raised their hand, and even if you didn't raise your hand, but you might be totally in love with God, totally want God in your life, but sometimes we need to stop and call on Him. Amen. We need to get rid of the dryness in our lives. And if that's you tonight, if you raise your hand or you just want to come forward and pray and receive God's blessing over your life, just come forward right now. We want to pray with you. We're going to sing a song. Amen. Don't be afraid. If you raised your hand, come forward tonight.